Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah chapter number 29, and then also Matthew chapter number 2, if you would. Jeremiah chapter number 29. Give you a few moments there just to find your place and trust that you'll be prayerful about the service this morning. I do want to be obedient to the Lord, what He'd have for us. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of Him, and I certainly don't want to. I don't want to get behind Him either. I want to be in step with Him. I believe that's important. I'll just be honest with you. I believe churches today are absolutely in critical need of spiritual leadership. I really do, because whatever's in the pulpit will eventually get in the pews. Amen, good or bad. So I pray that God will help me to be a spiritual man, a spiritual leader, a spiritual preacher. And that of course, is determined by a relationship with the Holy Spirit. In Jeremiah chapter number 29, I'm not going to read all of this, but it wouldn't hurt a bit for you to read this chapter when you get home. But I would like to focus our attention down to verse number 10. The Bible said, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Verse number 10 sets the setting of this chapter. What is taking place in this chapter is, and we'll read on in a moment, but what is taking place is that verse number 1 down through verse 23, specifically, is a letter given from God through Jeremiah the prophet to be sent to those that have been taken captive in Babylon. God sent a word to His people, even though they did not deserve it. They were in the Babylonian captivity because of their idolatry and disobedience and rebellion and sin. And God still will judge His people. We're living in a day when seemingly the message is coming across the media that God is a loving God and will never judge nothing or nobody or sin. But that's contrary to the Word of God. He is a God of love. Oh, we could never take that from Him. He's proven that. But on the other side of that coin is the fact that He is a God of wrath. And I believe that if He judged Jesus on the cross because of sin that was on Him, He will judge this nation as well and this world, and He will deal with His people. And so that's what's taking place in this chapter. And what God is doing is sending them a word. What about that? They didn't deserve it. They were in a process of chastisement and judgment in the Babylonian captivity. But God said, "Jeremiah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to copy down and I want you to make over 3,000 copies. And I want you to send it to those people in Babylon." He said, I want you to send this, instead of 3,000 copies, send this to those 3,023 Jews that had been taken captive. And send that to them. What's always a good sign when God sends us a word? Amen? In fact, part of this letter that is sent through Jeremiah to those people, he's telling them to not be depressed, not be living a life that shows defeat. In fact, in verse 7, he tells them to seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. He said, "I want you, even though you're in Babylon and you're under judgment and chastisement," said, "I want you to pray for that city you're living in." Said, I want you to seek peace. Said, I don't want you to be a troublemaker. Seek peace and pray for that city. And then he goes on into verse number 8 and he tells them, "Watch out who you listen to preach." While you're in this Babylonian captivity, he said, not only am I going to send you a word to encourage you and to help you, but he said, watch out who you listen to preach. Well, that needs to be preached today. That needs to, listen, you can turn the radio on and hear 45 different presentations of the gospel. Turn one on, it'll say you gotta get in the water. Another will say you gotta do good works. Do another one, you gotta eat a wafer. You know, whatever, but it's, they've so distorted the gospel. He said, if you're going to survive the bondage, if you're going to survive the difficult time, he said, make sure that you listen to the right kind of preaching. Amen. That's what he said in verse number 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners be in the midst of you, deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Not every preacher that's got a Bible in his hand is sin of God. Amen. Amen. And that's one reason you need to know your Bible, is so you can identify who it is that's false. Who it is, and it's not hard to identify them. The television, are y'all looking up here listening? The television are full of them. Amen. I mean, they tell them, they say, God said this, and God told me that, and God said this, and it's 400 miles from the Bible. But people just suck it up. You know why? They believe in open-ended revelation. They believe the Bible's not a complete book. They believe that a preacher or somebody can get a fresh word from God to give to you that's outside the Bible. Don't believe a word of it. Amen. One of the famous ones on television said, don't be bound by your Bible. Yeah. I wouldn't dare call his name. Mr. Copeland said it. Are you listening? Don't be bound by your Bible. In other words, go outside your Bible. Let God take you beyond the Bible. That's heresy. Amen. God help us. But anyway, I don't want to get on that. My blood pressure get up and give me heart trouble, and I don't want that. But anyway, he says, pay attention to what preacher you listen to. That's good advice. Subject your family to the preaching that's going to be influential to them in Bible spirituality. Don't go to a hireling or a compromiser, amen, that's in it for the money or a paycheck or a benefit or popularity contest. Go find somebody that'll preach to you about where you are and where you need to be. About God's will for your life. And then he goes right into verse number 10. And he tells them that after the 70 years be accomplished. In other words, he's telling them, I'm just sending you a word to let you know the problem, the situation you're in is not permanent. There's coming a time that little word after is going to be applied to your situation. Thank God for that word after. Some of those times you've been in a valley, trials, difficulties, and you thought, this is going to be permanent. This is going to be eternal. This is going to be forever. I'll never get out of this. But the word after come along. God put an after on your situation, and you can look back and say, you know what? That was in my past. I've went through that. Amen? And I've learned from that. But he said here that after the 70 years be accomplished. God says, I'm accomplishing something. You're in a situation on purpose. I'm accomplishing something. Boy, God's in that even for us today. He's out to accomplish something. Verse number 12. Of course, after the, at verse number 10, he said these, after the 70 years have been accomplished, he said, I'm going to visit you. And he said, I'm going to perform my good word towards you. And I'm going to cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts. Listen to verse number 11. How many in your needs a blessing? Say amen. If verse 11 don't bless you, then there's not much hope for you. Look at verse 11. For I know, God is talking to His people. For I know that the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Here they are in Babylonian captivity because of their sin and idolatry and disobedience to God's Word and their defilement. And here God is telling them, my thoughts towards you are not of evil but of peace. God is telling them, I'm thinking about you. God is telling them, I've got you on my mind. Amen. Everybody here this morning, can I give you a good word? God has got you on His mind. God is thinking about you this morning. In fact, David in one of the Psalms said those thoughts, you couldn't reckon them up into a number. They're more than can be numbered. Boy, it's hard for me to get a hold of. If I was God, I wouldn't think about me. Especially not thoughts of peace. I'd think thoughts of evil. Boy, I'm going to tire him up. I'm gonna put him out of business. I'm gonna stomp the daylights out of him. I've been good to him, and now look at him. Look at him. Amen. Don't look so spiritual. He thinks that about you too. Or if he was a man, that's what he would think. But he's not a man to think about us the way we would think about us. Amen. But he's God. Amen. And he thinks about us, hallelujah, with thoughts of peace and not of evil. And here's what it is. He said, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Boy, it's good, isn't it? He's giving all kinds of good instruction. He's giving them instruction in verse 7 about peace. How to live and act and behave there while they're in the captivity. He's giving them instruction about the preacher they're to listen to, and the preacher they're to follow, and the preaching they're to listen to. Amen. Amen. What kind of preaching you like tells me a lot about your spirituality. Amen. That's the truth. That's true. A lot of people today wouldn't have John the Baptist. They wouldn't have John the Baptist have the Bible to lead them in silent prayer. They wouldn't have the Apostle Paul that gave us 14 books of the New Testament. They wouldn't let him teach a Sunday school lesson. Amen. That's right. One message from Jesus Christ Himself, my friend, would shut down 90% of the churches in this country. Because most of them are built on mechanics and built on the become a better you type philosophy. And if Jesus come in and preach, repent or perish, that everyone get mad and leave. So he gives them instruction about peace. He gives them instruction about the preacher. He gives them instruction about a promise. When I get done, the 7 years is going to be over. I'm going to bring you to an expected end. He gives them instruction about a promise. He gives them instruction in verse number 12 about prayer and verse 13 about prayer. Look in verse number 13. He said, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And then verse 14, I will be found of you. Found of who? Those that are seeking me with all their heart. He said, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into this place whence I have caused you to be carried away. Now I want you to look, if you will, back at verse number 13. It's what verse the Lord's really put on my heart. Verse 13, He said, and ye shall seek me. And find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Seek. Seeking God. I wonder how many of us even here this morning that names the name of Christ could honestly say we are seeking God. Are we seeking God? Amen. That's a big subject. Do a word study on it. Look how many times the word seeking or search or sought or is used in the Bible. I mean, it's just hundreds of times. It's a big subject to seek after God. Now I want you to look, if you will, hold your place there and we'll be back. Matthew chapter 2, we have an illustration of this seeking after God that Jeremiah was talking about in verse 13. In Matthew chapter number 2, the Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Hello, does that sound like somebody seeking the Savior? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not that the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. What about that? See, he felt threatened. See, the prophetical word there that came, that in verse 5 and 6, let it be known that this Christ that has been born, my friend, has been commissioned of God to be a governor that shall rule my people Israel. He had a threat there. He had a threat. And he was wanting to try to do away with him. So he called the wise men in and he said, give me all the information. Tell me everything you know about this Christ that has been born. Tell me everything. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Of course, we know that wasn't true. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Didn't worship them. Might ought to make a note of that. He didn't worship them. They worshiped him. Amen. Some have it crossed up. One of the largest denominations in our world today has got that crossed up. They worship Mary and they worship Jesus and saints and everybody else and everything else. Amen. Popes and all. Amen. Cardinals, Vikers, all that crazy, unscriptural stuff. They didn't worship them. They worship him. He's the Savior. He's God's Son. He's the one to be worshiped. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So we find, I believe, a New Testament illustration in Matthew 2 of what God said through Jeremiah in chapter 29, verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Amen. The Bible, the world, let me just say this. The world has a game, and many of us played it in our youth, called hide and seek. Anybody ever played hide and seek? It was always fun, wasn't it? Didn't get old, didn't get boring, it was always fun. Hide and seek. In other words, there was somebody hid, and the seekers were to search and look and try to find that which was hid. Amen. And success came, the winner was determined by who found that which was hid, right? Amen? That was who got to do it next. That's who got to hide next. Amen? And so forth. But anyway, I want to say to you, in a way, there is a spiritual principle revealed in Scripture about God concerning hide and seek. Concerning hide and seek. In other words, here's what God says. Here's that spiritual principle I believe is revealed in the Bible. And that is simply that God is hid to those who are not seeking Him. Now the hide and seek game, the one that was hid to those that were seeking Him. But with God, He is not hid from those that seek Him. He said, ye shall seek me and find me. God is not trying to outrun you. God is not looking for a hole to get in. God is not looking for some secret place to get in to where you and I cannot find Him. The hide and seek principle of the Scripture is, if you don't seek God, God will be hid to you. Amen? God will be hid to everyone except seekers. God says, if you will seek me, you will find me. Amen. And I believe that's illustrated in Matthew chapter 2 with the wise men that come from the east to worship him. Amen. They come, they saw him, and guess what? They found him. Amen. Were they glad they found him? Were they regretting that they found him? Oh no. It was that expected end. It was that wonderful treasure that they found. Amen. I like that. Only seekers will be finders. Only seekers will be finders, seeking results in finding. God said, if you'll do the seeking, I'll make sure you do the finding. Amen. In other words, God delights in revealing Himself. God delights in manifesting Himself. If He knows you're seeking Him, and by the way, He'll know it. He'll know if you're seeking Him. He'll know that if your heart's yearning for Him, He'll know that, amen. Oh, yes, He'll know it. And I want to tell you, dear friend, God specializes in stepping out into your life and say, you found me. When we played the game hide and seek, I never did, when I was the one doing the hiding, I never did jump out and say, woohoo, here I am. That would have defeated the game. That would have made it easy. That would have made it easy. My object was to stay hid, to find the most unlikely place to get in. But God, when He sees somebody seeking Him, guess what? He don't run and hide and stay hid. Amen. Guess what? He likes to step out and say, you found me. I give up. You found me. I'm here. I want you to find me. I want to be found of you. Well, that's true in salvation, isn't it? In Rome, a sinner seeking the Lord. I've told a lot of people lost without God. I said, there's nothing wrong with me telling you to seek God. Seek after God. Look for Him. Even pray and say, God, I'm hunting you. God, I'm after you. God, I'm trying to find you. I have an emptiness in me I need filling, and I'm trying to find you. I'm in search of you. Here's your promise. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Amen. Amen. I like that. The first question of the Old Testament is, where art thou? God seeking man. The first question of the New Testament is Matthew 2, when the wise men ask, where is he? Man seeking God. What is salvation? You know what salvation is? It's when a seeking God meets up with a seeking sinner. Amen. The Bible said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Hey, if you're here tonight, this morning, you're lost. Guess what? Jesus is seeking you. He's after you. He's after you. You may not even know it, but He's on your trail. He's after you. He's seeking you. Amen. Amen. Those thoughts you've got about getting saved, those didn't come from outer space. They come from God. Being here this morning, that's not an accident. You didn't just trip and stumble here today. I want to tell you, God is behind the scene seeking you, seeking your interest, seeking your attention, seeking your desire. Amen. He's seeking you. In that passage in Luke 19:10, when the Bible said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know what the context of that is? Zacchaeus getting saved. Jesus passed through Jericho, and far as we know, Brother Rob, Jesus only passed through Jericho one time. And He went through there seeking a sinner. But what Jesus already knew was there was a sinner that was seeking Him. And knew what tree is up, and what limb is on, and what his name was. So Jesus passed through Jericho. My friend, he didn't, my friend, wander around, stumbling around. He was a seeker. He is on a mission. He wasn't just going through Jericho for it being the shortest path. He is going through Jericho on purpose because there's a man out on a limb. Amen. His name was Zacchaeus. And brother Zacchaeus heard the crowd and he looked out and he was a tax collector. In other words, he was a crook. He was a political crook. And all of his bloodline ain't died out either. But you know what? When Zacchaeus looked out and saw the crowd, the Bible said he sought to see Jesus. Who he was. That's what the Bible says. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And of course, he was a little small man of stature, and he could not see Jesus for the press, for the crowd. You know, the crowd will keep you from seeing Jesus. I'm telling you, there's a lot of lost people, my friend, one day will lift their eyes in the flames of hell. In other words, they will die lost without God because they can't get their eyes off of the hypocrites and they can't keep their eyes off of the crowd. Amen. Don't let the crowd hinder you. Do like Zacchaeus, you have to. From a tree. Amen. Zacchaeus went up that old sycamore tree. Amen. For the Lord he wanted to see. You remember that little song? Now Jesus passed that way. Amen. You remember that? I'll tell you what. Jesus passed that way. And when he come to the tree, he looked up on the limb and saw the man and called him by name and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Amen. You said, what happened right there? A seeking sinner met up with a seeking Savior. And salvation came to his house. That's what the Bible said. Jesus said, come down. Make haste and come down, for I must abide at thy house. And the Bible said he received him joyfully. And went on, I think, in the next verse, Jesus said, and salvation has come to this house. Amen. Oh, I still remember January 20th, 1981. Y'all ain't never heard that date, have you? That's when I got saved. That's when my life was changed. That's when I met Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Kissed away my sin. Give me peace and joy within. Become my best friend. Amen. Give me a new life and give me a new nature. Amen. Give me a new love. Amen. Give me a new home. Give me a new family. Give me a new job. So I want you to preach. I want to tell you, I didn't know it, but he is on my trail. I went to that church house that night. Y'all ain't never heard this story, I know. I like telling it. If you're tired of hearing it, just do like this. I like telling it, amen, because it's real to me. It's still fresh to me. I'm saved tonight because I got saved January 20th, 1981. Amen. It's fresh to me. It's real to me. It's wonderful to me. Amen. If it wasn't, I'd go to the house right now and quit. Throw in the towel. But it's real. Amen. Salvation is real, buddy. And I went to church that night. I want to tell you what. I didn't really go to get saved that night. I really didn't. But I'm going to tell you what's true. I found out that night Jesus was on my trail. What got him on my trail? Oh, there's a lot of things got him on my trail. The will of God, the praying of mom and daddy and grandparents, getting God on my case, getting Jesus on my trail. And there at the age of 20, thinking I was living it up, having a big time. Are you listening? I was just heading down that old life of pleasure. Thought, man, this is it, this is it, this is it. I tell you what, dear friend, that night the Lord showed me I needed Him. And I had a wonderful collision that night. Had a wonderful confrontation that night. I ran head on with Jesus. Amen. He is a seeking me. And then that night, God began to work in my heart in that pew and began to deal with me and draw me. Woo! Glory! He came all the way from heaven seeking me. I only had to go from about the fifth pew back up to an old-fashioned altar to get saved. Amen. Amen. I don't know what point I got saved. I just know I went in that direction lost and I came back to my seat saved. I may have gotten saved soon as I stepped out from rebellion into obedience. Took that first step. I believe a lot of people, soon as that wheel breaks, and they take that first step in a Godward direction, I believe right then and there is when it's settled. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. I ought to tell you what happened that night was a seeking sinner got met up with a seeking Savior, and I got gloriously, wonderfully, forever saved. Hallelujah. Well, I wasn't aiming to go all there, but I like it. Amen. John chapter number 4, another example comes to mind. John chapter number 4, there was the woman at the well. She was a reject of the rejects. The Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings with each other. You know that story. Know the truth of it. It's in the Bible. And you know what happened? Jesus told the disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. I must needs go through Samaria. And guess what? Came in the heat of the day, middle of the day, and there was that woman at the well as we know her to be. Wicked, ungodly, terrible reputation, and there she was, come to draw water. Most times those women would draw water in the morning, but she was such a person of awful reputation, they wouldn't even let her come with them. She had to come in the heat of the day by herself. Guess what time Jesus showed up at the well? He didn't even have a Timex. He didn't have nobody to report in. He knew exactly who she was. He went there on purpose. That's why he said, I must needs go through Samaria. I'm a seeking Savior. And there's going to be a sinner there that needs me. Amen. And guess what? Salvation happened that day. Why? Because a seeking sinner met a seeking Savior. You don't have to ask this morning, is Jesus interested in my salvation? Is Jesus wanting me to be saved? You don't have to ask that. That's already proven in the Bible. That's already been proven on the cross. That's proven fact. Jesus wants you to be saved. Amen. But He's waiting on you to seek Him. He's not going to twist your arm. He'll talk to you. He'll deal with you. He'll draw you. He'll speak to you. He'll show you that He's interested in you. He'll bring you under conviction. Show you you're guilty before God. But I'll tell you, He won't force Himself on you. He won't beat you over the head, twist your arm. He'll invite you to come. And if you'll turn into a seeking sinner, you will find Him to be a seeking, satisfying, saving, sufficient Savior. That's what you'll find Him to be. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? Amen. Well, there's all kinds of examples where God saves seeking sinners. Amen. But you know there's a danger. I don't look like I'm getting where I want to go. There's a danger in delaying. There's a danger in delay. I want you to look at the verse of Scripture with me. Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Luke chapter number 15. Or excuse me, Luke chapter 13, I meant to say. Luke 13. Luke chapter number 13. Look what the Bible said in verse 24. Let's read verse 23 with it. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door. Heard a message on that Friday night. Had shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. You know what? Jesus said right here, there's going to be a group of people. They're going to turn into be a seeking sinner one day. But they're not going to find me. They're going to want to enter in. But the Bible said, they'll not be able to. Are you listening? It's a dangerous thing to have God tug on your heart and speak to you and deal with you, and you turn Him away again and again and again and say no, or later, or I'll do it another time. I've got things to do. I want to tell you, it's a dangerous thing to say to God no, or later. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you, think about it. Out of almost 7 billion people on planet Earth, the God of heaven taking time and giving personal attention to deal with you, to speak to you, and to work in your heart, and to draw you to Himself. It's a dangerous thing to say no to God. Because the Bible teaches us, my friend, there is going to come a time if you keep turning Him away, and we don't know if that'll be at one time or 10 times or 50 times. We don't know how merciful, how gracious, how patient that God is. Hey, amen. I didn't get saved the first time God dealt with me, and I'd say none. Did anybody get saved the first time God ever dealt with them? Raise your hand. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 people out of this entire congregation that says, preacher, the first time God dealt with me, I got saved. That's His will. That's His will. That's what He wants. Amen? That's what He wants. Don't waste your life. Don't waste an opportunity. Get saved the first time God deals with your heart. Amen? I want to tell you what's the truth. There'll come a time if you keep telling Him no, no, no. I want to tell you what happened. The dealings of God many times will get lighter and more faint and lighter and easier and more lighter and more faint and more distant. I've seen it. Oh, I've seen it, Brother Silas, so many times. God deal with a sinner and God trouble them. And I've seen their knuckles turn white when they grip the pews. I've seen tears run down their cheek and grip off their chin. I've seen them tore up under conviction. I've seen that, and I've watched them time and again turn Jesus away. Why would anybody want to turn Jesus away? He's wanting, my friend, to give you heaven. He's wanting to give you Himself. He's wanting to give you His Spirit. He's wanting to forgive you and cancel your sin debt. He's wanting to remove the condemnation off of you. Why in the world would anybody want to turn Him away? He don't want to ruin you. He wants to redeem you. Amen. But I've seen it time and again. I've seen them turn, walk out the door and leave. I've seen them turn, walk out the door and leave. And I've watched it. The time between God dealing with them just keeps getting further. And further and further apart. Amen. Amen. I've seen it. Brother Ivan, I've seen God deal with people. You know, and sometimes you can't maybe see it, but sometimes you can see it. Sometimes it's real evident. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you can tell God is dealing with a person, and my friend, for whatever reason, they said no, or maybe said later, or whatever. Amen. And you know what? Maybe God dealt with them the next service, or maybe not. Maybe it was 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe not. Who knows? But then I've seen God deal with them again. And I thought, my, it's been a while since I've seen. And I've even said that about people in the church. I said, oh, it's been a while since I've seen God deal with this individual. It's been a while. God, surely don't leave them alone. Lord, they can't get saved if you don't draw them. No man can come to the Father, which amen, unless the Father which sent me draw him. John 6:44. God, don't quit dealing with them. God, don't quit speaking to them. God, if you don't get on their case and seek after them and knock on their heart's door and pursue them and take the initiative, they'll never get saved. God, don't leave them alone. But I've watched God distant, putting distant between the last time He dealt with them to the next time. But not only have I noticed that, Brother Brian, but I've also not only noticed that God's dealings starts getting further and further apart. Further and further apart. I had a man one time to tell me, preacher, God hadn't dealt with me in 40 years. That's what he told me. I was preaching a tent meeting in Pickens, South Carolina. He came to after the service, and he said, preacher, he said, God dealt with me 40 years. He was telling about his testimony, and he said, I turned him away, God dealt with me, and he said, God didn't deal with me, didn't speak to me, not even in the slightest way for 40 years. He said, I was begging Him, God, please deal with me, please speak to me, God, don't leave me alone, please don't pass me by, please, while You're saving others, please don't leave me alone, Lord, I'm sorry I turned You away, I'm sorry, I regret it, I regret that, Lord, if I had it to do over again, Lord, I'd have gotten saved. But he said, I turned the Lord away, and God didn't deal with him for 40 years. He said, God, if you ever deal with me again, I don't care where I'm at. I don't care who's around. I don't care what's going on. I will get saved then and there. And he stood there and testified as an object of mercy. God dealt with me and I got saved. Amen. Are you listening? But I've not only seen the between dealings start stretching out and stretching out. Some of, maybe even in this service this morning, you could say, preacher, not, don't say it out loud, but in your heart, you could say, preacher, you're reading my mail. I remember back when I'd sit on these pews and God would deal with me. I remember being at the house and God would trouble my heart. I remember driving down the road, God deal with me. I remember, amen. Are y'all listening? Hey, God's got me on a whole different track this morning. Better listen. Amen. I remember God warming my heart. I remember God warming my heart, tears from my eyes, and my heart soft toward Him. I knew He wanted me. I knew He was seeking me. I knew He was after me. But for whatever reason, I turned Him away. For whatever reason, I said no. And preacher, it's been a while since God has dealt with me. It's been a while, preacher, since God has dealt with me. It's been a while since God has dealt with me. That ought to alarm you. That ought to alarm you this morning. Not only, Brother Clipper, have I noticed that the times that God deals. Listen, you can't get saved anytime you want to. You can't just wake up on Monday, grab your clock or your calendar down and say, you know what, I'm going to program in my day to salvation. I'm going to get saved on such a date and such a time and such a place. You don't know that. You have to get saved when the seeking Savior is a knocking and a speaking and a drawing. Amen. Your soul. Brother James, how old were you when you got saved? He is 50 years old. I mean a heathen. You know why he got saved over there in the backyard of Brother Brian Thurman's and it poured down rain? God was in the truck with him. They supposed to went fishing that morning. Brother Brian stepped out on the door, out on the porch, instead of Brother James standing there with a fishing rod in his hand. He was standing there with conviction on him, amen. Drove ever so slow getting over there. You've heard his testimony. Drove ever so slow, fearful. Something would happen. Somebody hit him. It wrecked. Something happened. He'd died, lost without God. And amen. Brother Brian stepped out on the porch. And Brother James expressed to him, said, God, I want to get saved. Brother Brian, I want to get saved. And God told me to get saved in your building on the back side of your property. And they went out there and got in that building. And Brother James, what happened? Got gloriously saved. Amen. You said, preacher, what happened right there? I tell you what happened. A seeking Savior, a sympathizing Savior, a pursuing Lord, amen, was on his trail and he got in the truck with him and began to trouble him and put fear in his heart. Hallelujah, amen. But that fear left when he got saved. Amen. But it's not only the distance gets further apart, but they get lighter sometimes. Boy, I've seen some under conviction. I didn't see how they made it. I don't see how they even walked to the car. Heavy conviction. I mean, pale as a ghost. Boy, it looked like just a weight of sin was heavy on them. Are you listening? But I've watched it time and again, Brother Ivan. I've watched it so many times. The preaching the Word of God, my friend, would be directed in there towards sinners being saved. A service would be full of conviction. God would be a working and dealing. Maybe even people getting saved. And I've noticed that, my friend, certain ones that one time was dealt with, one time was spoken to by the Lord, I was sitting there just blank-faced. God not dealing with them. Are you listening? Salvation happens when a seeking Savior and a seeking sinner gets together. Jesus made the promise, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. When your heart's in it, that's the key. When he said, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. You know when you want, you know when you can be saved? When you, it's in your heart to get saved. God deals with your heart, the devil deals with your head. when it's in your heart to get saved, when it's in your heart to turn from sin, when it's in your heart, brother, to start walking the path of righteousness and have a precious Lord in your life and a new master in your life and a new direction in your life and a new purpose in your life. When it's in your heart, that's when you get in. Amen. Glory! Hallelujah. I remember God dealing with my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Oh, if God had put in your heart tonight, I'm not talking about some overwhelming experience. I'm not talking about seeing lightning flash and thunder rolls. I'm not talking about, my friend, feeling something pick you up out of your seat and you floating to the altar. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just inside you, in your heart, is a desire to know God. Oh, I feel the power on that. Amen. I'm talking about in your heart a desire, buddy, to be saved. Hallelujah. Nobody gets saved that don't desire to be saved. Nobody. 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 Amen. I've dealt with people on the altar. There was no evidence of a desire to be saved. None. Zero. Are you listening? Amen. I'm talking about, listen, boy, there's all kinds of scenarios we could say about that. Go to the altar maybe because somebody else went. Amen. It don't happen now as much as it used to, but brother, listen, if there's a lost person in the service come invitation time, there'd be four or five people go back there, oh, you need to get saved today, and I want you come on, and embarrass the daylights out of them, and they never want to come back. Are you listening? Hey, I've seen people go to the altar. I know it's happened. I've even heard them testify of the fact that they went to the altar just to get them off their back and to kindly do away with some of the embarrassment of the service and the pressure and the attention that's been put on them. Are you listening? Hey, I want to tell you, if you went to the altar, my friend, and there wasn't a desire in you to get saved, it wasn't in your heart to get saved, you didn't get it. You can go to the altar and pray 5,000 prayers. You can go to the altar and quote 5,000 verses. My friend, agree with all kind of Bible facts. And you'll get up as lost as you went down. If it's not in your heart, how to get saved? God has to put it in your heart to get saved. Your heart's depraved. The Bible said the heart is desperate, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart will never seek after God. Romans 3 and verse 11. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God, no, not one. You'll never see God. But when God seeks you and begins to work in your heart and begins to draw you to Himself, that's when you can get in, praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh! Oh, yes! Oh, yes! He begins to put it in your heart. God's trying to make that big right there. Amen. I'm not even nowhere as close to where we want. I was going to preach to saints today. About we need to seek the Lord. That's what I came to the church thinking. That's what I'm going to preach. But oh, that's not happening. Amen. That's not happening, and it's probably not going to. God's got us on somebody's trail. Amen. Amen. I tell you, you can identify a seeking Savior. It's my friend when God, the Holy Ghost, has got a preacher on your pew, when God's got a preacher in your lap, when God's got a preacher doing everything but call your name. Amen. Amen. Don't get mad. Don't get embarrassed. Don't get upset. I tell you what you better do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for sending me a word. Thank you for speaking to me this morning. Boy, I feel the power of God, I'm telling you. Amen. Oh. Amen. Is it in your heart? Amen. Amen. If it's in your heart this morning, amen. Well, I tell you, a good thought in your heart to let you know something's going on. It's when you're thinking, there's got to be something better in life than this. you look at your life and you look at all that you're involved in and you look at all that you're doing. Amen. And you're and inside of you, you're just empty as an old number 10 washtub. Amen. You're just as empty as an old gourd. Amen. I mean, you're just empty. You got an outer shell, but you're empty. Nothing on the inside. You're going as much as you can go. You're spending all you can spend. You're doing all you can do. Make all you can make. Go everywhere you can go. Amen. I want to tell you what, but inside of you, there's a hole that big. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I'm describing somebody. You got a hole that big in you this morning. I'm telling you, you're as empty can be. You know why? You don't know God. That's why. Hallelujah. Boy, that big old empty hole in your heart. Y'all pay attention up here. Amen. That big old hole in your heart. That emptiness in your soul. This morning. Amen. I tell you, you can pour Bud Dumber in it. You can pour Miller Low Life in it. You can pour pills in it. You can pour parties in it. You can pour pleasure in it. I'll tell you, it'll not fill it up. It'll not fill it up. You know why? That big hole is made for the Creator. And when you know Him, hallelujah, He comes in. He fills up the void. He fills up the emptiness. And guess what? The search is over. You don't have to look no further. Thank God. You're satisfied with Jesus. You're satisfied. Hallelujah. 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 Glory! Hallelujah! Satisfied! Satisfied! Hallelujah! The Bible said you're complete in Him! Satisfied! Hallelujah! Glory! Bless His holy name! Oh, glory! Complete! I don't need another party. I don't have to go back to the dance hall. I don't have to drink more booze. I'm satisfied. I'm content, Brother Gene, on the inside. Hallelujah! I know Him. He knows me. He's my Father. I'm His Son. Hallelujah! Glory! I tell you what I sense in my heart, Brother David. You know what? I tell you what I sense in my heart. I'm just about, I'm not having visions or nothing. Now, Brother Silas, I'm just about seeing God.
Yeah.
I'm just about to see God in the service this morning. I'm not coming up and just about getting in somebody's lap. Amen. And dealing with them and said, hey, that preacher's not preaching to the Jews in Jerusalem or the Romans in Rome. He's preaching to you. You can get saved this morning if it's in your heart. If it's in your heart. God's put in your heart, you can get saved this morning. Glory to God. There's a danger of delay. God said there's going to be a crowd that'll seek to enter in and won't be able to. Make sure that when you seek after the Lord, that it's during that golden opportunity when He's a seeking after you. Because if He ever turns away from you, and He's, listen, if He ever turns away from you and quits dealing with you, you're just as sure for hell as if you was already there. Because nobody gets saved apart from a seeking Savior. Let me read you one other verse. Miss Posse, I want you to come. Let me read you one other verse. I want to read another verse in John chapter number 8. Lord, I can't even hardly see the light of my Bible. John chapter number 8. I want you to listen to this verse. No, is there a danger of delay? There's a danger of disbelief. Jesus is dealing with the people here in John 8, and here's what He said to them in verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. He said again in verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Notice that what I read in closing. Jesus said in verse 21, I go my way and ye shall seek me. And shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Jesus said, if you're going to get saved, you better seek me. And I'll tell you a good way to do that is to be in the house of God. I'm talking about even as a lost person, be in the house of God every time the doors are open. Because you never know when God's going to send them. What if you hadn't been here this morning? God knew you was going to be here. I came with intentions of preaching to save people today on seeking God. God has turned the message a complete opposite direction. Preach to sinners. Are you seeking Him this morning? Let's bow for a word of prayer. I want you to stand with me, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name. Lord, I've done my best. Try to be sensitive to You. Lord, I knew, Lord, early in the message that You were changing and charting our direction in a different course. And Lord, I just want to thank You for helping me, Lord, to go with You. Lord, not go with what I thought, but go with You. And Lord, just allow the Spirit of God to lead us and direct us and help us. Lord, there's people here this morning, they may not have come to get saved. Lord, they may not have come to get right with God. They may not have come to do business with You. But Lord, You've showed up. You've doing business with their heart. You're troubling their heart right now. I guarantee you, I don't see how a sinner, I don't see how a person that's out of the will of God even could sit in a service, Lord, of the power that's in this service this morning, sit there idle and cold and dead. In fact, Lord, if that is such a description of someone here today, Lord, they ought to be the one running down the aisle and saying, oh God, Lord, I can't believe You're not dealing with me in this service. Lord, it's evident You're here. I can see it with my physical eyes. Lord, I can tell. I can tell. Lord, why are You not dealing with me? Why are You not speaking to me? Lord, please, please don't let this service close without You dealing, Lord, with my heart. Lord, I pray You help them to know that You gave a promise. Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Oh God. Lord, I thank You. Oh, I thank You for meeting with us this morning. Thank You, Lord, for giving us that touch. God, this morning. Lord, these sinners here lost. Lord, they're on their way to hell. Lord, it may have been weeks, days, weeks, it might even have been months, Lord, since You've dealt with them and they know it. But Lord, You've stopped in on their pew and You're dealing with them and You're speaking to them and You're drawing them. Lord, help them to know, God, not to take that lightly, not to spurn that golden opportunity and privilege, Lord, this morning, because it may be a long time and it may be never again that God would deal with them. Lord, You said in Genesis 6, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. Lord, there'll come a time, and we heard it preached Friday night, there'll come a time, Lord, that there'll be a deadline. The grace will run out. God will say, that's it. That's it.